Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, after 18 years of taking and calling the shots, Michelle O'Neill has made her final appearance as a FIFA International Assistant Referee. She broke barriers in her career, that's putting it mildly, becoming one of the most Ireland's most decorated female referees and working in places that Irish people had never really been before. And she's here to look back on some of it with us. Good morning, Michelle O'Neill.
Good morning, Oliver, and good morning to all your listeners. Thanks for having me here.
Freshly retired, and I'm with the emphasis on fresh.
Yeah.
To retire young, obviously, from the referee world.
Yeah, so look, I had made the decision. I was very clear with my own decision in when I would like to retire and when I'd like to go on to my next stage in sport. And I said I'd retire on the top with the World Cup being last year in 2023, and what way to go out and that's doing the third place final again there. So yeah, and then started this season and, you know, just took my time in the decision as well the first half of the year and just decided then that was it.
Well, congratulations on a wonderful career, and we're going to get into it now in a second. I want to start, though, if I can, on where you're a Wexford, proud Wexford woman. Was Enniscorthy home growing up?
Yeah, so proud Wexford woman, and I say Wexford as being the county because I originally from Enniscorthy, grew up and then moved to Bree and grew up my whole childhood in Bree community. And then
it's a wee village there.
A wee village, yeah. But most of my schooling days were in secondary level back in Enniscorthy. And then I worked probably about 30 years in Wexford Town, and now I live in Wexford Town. So, yeah.
You've the whole county covered there, don't you?
The whole county covered, yeah.
North and south, all that. And was it a very sporty household? Were there a lot of you?
Yeah, so there's six in my family. I was an Irish dancer first and foremost. Started in at a very young age in Enniscorthy, then brought that into Bree, a very amazing community in Bree with sport and Irish dancing and athletics. And then it was only later when I was in school that I started football with the boys in school in fifth class and went on to Racquard League. And that's where the love of the team sport came. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I did team sports in school, but it wasn't until after that there was a team available for me to play on till I was about 16. So, yeah.
And it was GAA really for a lot of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. My first club was Camogie with Oilgate. And I remember, I always tell the story because it's an unbelievable story, as in turning. I wanted to play and I used to strap the hurl to the bike and the helmet on my head, and off I went to cycle from Bree to Oilgate to play, which is, you're talking about 30 kilometres.
So, 30 kilometres.
So there's my warm-up.
To go, time. Yeah, yeah.
So that's how
nothing
much I wanted.
Stop you
nothing
would
stop, you know. And then I went on to play GA with Ballyhogue and Adamstown, and then with the county, and played club and county for many years, you know.
And it's amazing you kept sport going, because somebody comes into your life at a young age. Were you in school or in college at this stage?
Yeah, I was in secondary school, Leaving Cert. And yeah, so I decided to have my son at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not decided, but yeah, that's it. Just what happens, you know. And you know, you go with whatever life gives you. And I just always had it in the back of my head, well, there's always going to be a sub on a team that I'm ever going to play with, so I'll always have, like, you know, someone on the sideline there. So, and then
so
he became the mascot.
Evan arrives.
Yeah, so Evan arrives,
and
yeah.
He's all grown up now.
He's all grown up. Yeah, he's 28. He's 28. Wow, yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Where the year's gone.
Blows your mind.
Yeah, it does.
And you still managed to get to college. You get through your Leaving Cert in college, which is phenomenal. You know, that's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
As a single mum to be doing that. What do you do in college?
Yeah, so I went on and did sport, recreation, leisure management, and, you know, did my degree in that. And I did all the training for lifeguard, swim teaching, gym instructor, personal training, so everything to do with sport, I suppose, because again, it's very useful when you're in the sporting capacity to be able to train yourself as well as being able to train others. So it was always going to be something in that line. And I suppose swimming, really, I really took to the swimming teaching and kept that throughout the years.
You sound like several people rolled into one here, because you go to Waterford IT, but you're still living in Wexford.
Yeah.
and you're still raising your child, you get through college and you manage to keep sport going.
Yeah, and not only with Dusty, you know, I went on to do soccer as well. So I had also two teams there with the club and the county in soccer. Mm. And that was only after Evan was born, actually. I found soccer at the age of 18, you know.
That's incredible in itself, isn't it, given that it forms such a big part of your life that you only come to it at 18?
Yeah, and I had a very good support system around me, like, you know, a few friends, and in the teams you found very, you know, good comrades in the teams, and they were amazing people in when you're in a community growing up, you know, especially in rural Ireland. You do really lean on the people around you.
Is that how you get through? Because I imagine a lot of women will be asking, how on earth do you get your college done while being a mum, but also you maintain sport? Because, you know, mid-teens, isn't too many girls drop out of sport then?
Yeah, I mean, I just made a decision early. And again, I'm a doer, so I'll always find a solution, find a way of how it's going to work. And, you know, with me, it was like commuted was the easiest way. So I learned how to drive to Waterford then and commute that way. And then brought Evan to Montessori school the first time.
Yeah.
And the first year, and then my aunts then stepped in and my mother stepped in and said, right, we're going to mind Evan here during the day until he's school age. Mm-hmm. And then you just do it, you know, you just go on it, you recess. And then
It must be difficult.
Yeah, it was.
You're so practical, you kind of go, no, there's just a thing that has to be done and that's the end of it. But it's challenging.
It is challenging. And, you know, if you just sat down and kind of go, oh, my life's over, or what am I going to do? You know, it'd be probably a different path I would have went down. But I just kind of went, no, I just take the situation and kind of try and find a solution with it. And again, I wasn't afraid to ask for help either, you know. So it's a big thing, you know. There's so much people out there that can give your help and give your, you know, you can rely on that. The biggest of challenges, you know, can be small steps. So with me, it was always, what step can I do? What can I do today to have a better tomorrow? How am I going to, like, deal with these? But also being able to have an opener mind of kind of going towards the resources of everything else around you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and it's the same as this.
You don't have to do it
all
on your
own. Don't have to give up, because, you know, again, it's better now. The environment I was in back then was like a lot like 28 years ago.
What was the environment?
You know, it was different. It was more hostile and more, you know, again, going back years in Ireland growing up. And so you just had to shut out noise early. You know, so you had to really focus in on what was going to be beneficial for you and your family, and making decisions around your family, and then, you know, being okay with going, yeah, let's go and play sport, because, you know, he can grow up beside you rather than growing up against the situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, and just really being supportive and being a mother in that situation first, but also kind of going, no, hold on a minute, it's my life's not over. I can really push and have a career, and what's the best path I can go down? Where's the you know, where I see myself as well? And then just take them one step at a time, you know, and just, you know, just keep on going.
You should be really proud of yourself.
It's mad, because it's only through these interviews like yourself and the reflections of what life was actually have done. It's like, oh, wow, did I do that? Yeah, okay, that did happen.
You must look back at your younger you and go, how did you do that? Yeah, but you did it.
Yeah, it is.
As you've described. That is beautifully put. You studied sport, recreation, leisure management in Waterford.
Yeah.
So you're heavily involved in soccer now at this stage. That slowly becomes your life in many ways, isn't it? Yeah. Something happens. Is it 2006? Something happens. You're watching a League of Ireland match, and there's one incident that kind of gives you the idea of what you eventually become in terms of refereeing.
I played for club and county, and I didn't really have any. You know, you talk about role models.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never thought that women could referee matches, and as easy as people are like listening to this going, what? But I never had a female referee in my games. Mm-hmm. So playing a high level sport then, and you go on, and what's next for you? So I kind of go, right, I did try coaching, did try management, I was very successful in it, but I just felt the yearn to, you know, challenge myself more and become a referee. And, you know, a colleague asked me, they told me there was a beginner's course coming up, you should try it, because I think he'd make a good referee. But I always had it in the back of my head that, you know, it's something that I wanted to try. So I went on and did it and tried it and did my first game in 2008.
And we're seeing a woman referee go onto the pitch, isn't it?
That was in when I in the process of the beginner's course and then having, you know, turn up and watching games, and in there was a game on in Wexford Utes, and there was a woman that came on the pitch and was refereeing, and I was like, oh, so it is possible, and then it was possible to be at a high level. So, you know, that was a turning point of a decision. That's, yeah, this is definitely going to be a decision. It can be done. So, wow. Yeah.
And what do you do? What? Because we know by now that you're somebody who makes these things happen, regardless of any obstacles in the world. How do you fulfil then your dream of becoming a referee?
Yeah, so I kind of just really dedicated everything. I researched what is needed to be a top level official, because I was local level, and then got a chance to be nominated onto the League of Ireland, the School of Excellence programme. It's now the core programme, and with the FAI. And I was like, right, I'll just dedicate my training. I needed to do more training. I needed to look more into my nutrition and kind of focus more on myself than the other things that I was doing in life. So,
it's a very serious training, though, isn't it? Because you have to be an elite sports person to do that, particularly the level you reach, which is at FIFA International. There is no other higher level. And you have to be, you know, you have to match, don't you, who's on the pitch?
Yeah, you do. I mean, the massive transition from going grassroots, the League of Ireland, to FIFA and UEFA. And it was a huge transition. So when you thought you were training like 3 days a week and, you know, doing your match on the weekend, you were proud of yourself. And then when you went to FIFA level, you were like, oh, okay, then, yeah, I'm missing the strength, I'm missing the speed. And you turn around and sometimes I train twice a day, 7 days a week. Yeah, okay. Up at the high level tournaments I was at.
Like a professional.
Like fully on professional footballer. Because at the end of the day, if you think about it, if you have Mo Salah running down on the pitch, you have to be as fast as him.
You do.
So, you know, and in order to catch the offside,
yeah,
like,
of course,
if you're not in the right position, you don't get the best decision. It's as simple as that. And is decisions are what our grades are based on. If we the correct decisions, you get the next match. If you don't, you don't get the next match, you're sent home from tournaments. So yeah, it all comes down to mental preparation and physical preparation. So it's the next level.
At what stage in your career do you have to decide whether you want to be the referee who's on the centre of the pitch or the assistant referee, which is what you go for, isn't it, on the sideline?
Yeah, so there's two different pathways. When you're on the core programme, yeah, you're put through different paces, and it's kind of really half decided that way, as well as if there's anything, if there's a badge available, because you have to be nominated every single year for the badge.
Right. And it's that rigorous.
And you have three fitness tests per year, just for, say, Ireland, League of Ireland. And then you'll have another two or three for FIFA level. So you could have 5-6 fitness tests a year. And also video analysis and training and mental training, and
that's constant, isn't it? After a match,
it's constant.
It's not just the teams watching back the footage; it's the referees.
We analyse everything. Yeah.
And when you decide to become a referee, doesn't become an assistant referee because it's a totally different skill.
That's totally different.
That's your career path, and that's it.
Okay. Different fitness tests, everything. There's a lot of different things involved, and again, it's even different movements and training and speed. So we would be assistant referees are more speed based training, linear movements,
sprint
and sprints, and then the referees are more dynamic and change direction very quickly, and acceleration speed and endurance speed. So, yeah.
Because the assistant referees are sometimes out of the camera angles, aren't they, until the replay and they become the centre of attention.
Yeah.
Does that create a different dynamic for you in the kind of referee team?
Well, in the referee team, I mean, the assistants are both given their input to the referee and the referee makes the final decision. And, you know, it's only when there's, an offside call, because that's 90% of what our decisions are, the offside call, and if it's correct or incorrect, then the place you don't want to be is on camera, and that's okay. It. Do you know, so we hiding on the sidelines is pretty all right by all of us, you know.
Did you get by okay? But you had a few, because you were in charge of very serious matches.
Yeah, I had an amazing career. Honestly, when I reflect back at the career and being in. Being in a final every single year of my career is amazing to even be able to say. And some of the massive games I was involved in, and it all started from League of Ireland.
We should mention those. Don't skip by. 2019, the FIFA Women's World Cup final. And that was an Irish first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And it was such a proud moment because you know that you've just broken down the barriers for anyone else that wants to lead behind you and come behind you. And, you know, to be able to step out onto that pitch and go, actually at the pinnacle, this is where you are wanting to go to the World Cup final. And to be the first to do it was such unbelievable.
You probably assumed you'd never be in another tournament like that again.
No.
But you somehow managed to do that.
Yeah, within a quick turnaround, a month later, I was stepping out onto one of the biggest games in my career with the Men's Super Cup final with UEFA, whereas Liverpool beat Chelsea, and it was just beyond my wildest dreams.
And that was the first time, it was an all-women refereeing team, wasn't it, that day?
Yeah, the first ever female trio to be in charge of a men's final around the world, around the globe. So, yeah, it became huge and magnified. So, yeah, there was no pressure on that one.
And when I say you got a 2019 final, you also came back for 2023 and you did the third place final. So yeah. It's in the suite of finals.
Yeah,
so you got to do it twice.
It's amazing. And to do it back to back and to get into the third place final when, again, you thought it could never, it wasn't impossible. Those words came out of my vocabulary back in 2019 when everything became possible for the future of women and in sport and in refereeing. And in between all that, I was also lucky enough to go to Tokyo Olympics when the world thought it was never going to happen. And to walk out to be in Japan and among the great athletes and to be the first ever match official from Ireland as well to be in the Olympics. And it was it's probably one of the biggest tournaments I've ever personally achieved. Yeah. Because as a 7-year-old kid, my dream was to represent Ireland in sport at the Olympics. So I had ticked all three boxes at that.
It's a route we don't think about, is it? Yeah. You can be the officiating.
Yeah. You'd never think of it. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I would be a referee at these tournaments. And now given the opportunity and given a different pathway to do all of what I wanted to do in a different capacity, it really gives you outside the box thinking.
You are now the role model that you were once looking around for. What is the state of refereeing? Are we going to see more and more women in the men's games in particular? Obviously, the men were officiating the women's games, which wasn't a great help either. That's definitely changing much quicker, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, there's a big recruitment drive on from the FAI to get more females refereeing. And, you know, it does take time. You know, but the pathways are there and the pathways will be in place. But we do need more. We need more visibility. We need more women to go, hey, look, let me try this. Let me step up. And, you know, there will be hopefully, you know, if I've had to do with it anyway, I want to continue coaching and mentoring the next generation.
This is what you're going to do next, isn't it? Because you're now retired from this job. Just before I move away, is it a rewarding job? Can people make it their, you know, can they make a living as a referee?
It's quite a different way, I suppose. In Ireland, it's an amateur league. you know, but there is, we are trying to put in place a better system. But
you'd have to get to your level, essentially, wouldn't you?
You know, once you go outside Ireland, it's amazing and very rewarding. But when you're, you know, in Ireland, it's quite difficult because we're not a professional league. But, you know, that's changing. There's different things in you know, the League of Ireland are putting different tiers. And, you know, it is changing.
It's getting better.
You still have to work.
And often, and a lot of it is down to you, we have to say, to give you absolute credit for that. Yeah. There's a couple of lovely messages in for you here, Michelle. Michelle's a fabulous ambassador for our county and country, a lovely person. But if she has a failing in life, is she couldn't teach me how to swim. Says Philip, who admits it was his fault entirely.
Thanks, Philip.
James from Kilkenny says, great guest. She's inspirational, a great role model for young women in Ireland. Oliver, what an incredible woman. So inspirational. She should be in charge of health and housing. No obstacles that cannot be overcome. Good luck to her in the next chapter of life. And I believe in that chapter there's a bit of art.
Yeah.
Evan and your son is not sporty, but he's into his art, and it's a passion you both share.
Yeah. It's mad because back in college or in school, I loved art, and I had an amazing art teacher there. So he gave me, instilled the passion of that, and I kept it up. I was going to go on to college for art, but again, different choices. But I kept it up.
Alongside everything else. Who is this woman?
And I did my first solo exhibition in 2022, and I did in the, you know, the, what, Go Big or Go Home. So I was in the, you know, the opera festival. That's the world renowned Wexford Opera Festival.
Good place for it.
And I did an exhibition.
It sold quite a lot there, didn't you?
Oh, it did. Yeah, I sold out the show, and I was just amazed. I'm blown back by it, but that, you know, and I just said, no, I keep it up. And since I've collaborated with my son on different art pieces, and he's an amazing, he's also does digital art and visual design and everything. So
your Instagram probably has some of those, is it? Michelle O'Neill Official, alongside all the other things you've been doing. former FIFA International Assistant Referee, Michelle O'Neill. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in. You've given us a great lift. Happy Christmas to you and Evan.
Thank you very much, and many happy returns to you and all your listeners. And thank you. So much.